It feels like ages. I don't know why I'm singing. Good morning, Lyle. How are you doing?
Good morning, Rufilwe. It's very, very pleasant indeed.
Indeed. It's been too long. Professor Lyle White is a research associate at the Brainhurst Foundation, as well as the founder of the organization Contextual Intelligence. Always gives us fantastic insight on what's happening in Latin and South America. Let's kick off, as I was mentioning, gangs here in the Western Cape with the biggest gang in Brazil.
Yeah, and they're extremely powerful, aren't they? You know, not law enforcement and a bunch of violent gestures could never remove what they call Cracolândia, the largest open-air drug market in South America, from the heart of São Paulo, the largest city in Brazil. Police have failed over and over again. But in March 2022, so earlier this year, Cracolândia emptied out hundreds of dealers and addicts. They all dispersed without any sign of violence, Rufilwe. And the police initially claimed credit for it, but the move had instead been orchestrated by what is called the First Capital Command, the PCC, South America's largest gang, and on the orders of the imprisoned leadership. Now, the PCC could do what the police could not, or that it could do what the police could not, is not all that surprising. The gang has set itself up as an alternative form of government, and many poor Brazilians feel they trust the PCC more than the state itself. The U.S. Treasury, incidentally, just some background to the PCC, because I found this quite interesting. They say this is one of the most powerful criminal organizations in the world. It started back in the 1990s. In 2017, the PCC was behind the beheading of dozens of inmates across various prisons across Brazil. They also control the trade in stolen telephones in São Paulo, where in that city, every 3.5 minutes, a mobile phone is taken, and they are taken for access to the banking app, and that's what they are after. But the PCC have got lofty ambitions to help the oppressed of the system. They call themselves a fraternity of crimes, providing loans, weapons, and a network of contacts for illicit businesses. They also claim to be behind the dramatic fall in crime in the state of São Paulo since 1999. Homicide rates have plunged 80%, this is also attributed to them. So most people find them less threatening than the police. The police incidentally killed 6,000 Brazilians in 2020. And so they claim that crime strengthens crime. Very, very interesting story, and one that is pretty much instructive as well for us here in South Africa.
I was about to say, so that's a very interesting thing that you just described, the cell phones being taken and this whole Robin Hood attitude, and I will protect you. It's very Pablo Escobar. It's very gangs in general in the Western Cape, and it's very lofty, as if it's an idealist outcome, and it's dangerous. To do that. You hold your police accountable. You don't create your own police, in my opinion. I see it's working out in Brazil. That's fine. But you can't be lazy at the ballot box and then hope that these guys are going to stay on your good side for the rest of your life.
I don't know if it's working in Brazil. It's certainly not sustainable. It's had some sure successes, but that just shows up the police forces in Brazil at this stage.
Fair point. And then a new political alliance also in Brazil in the run-up to elections.
Yeah, and just to remind listeners, the Brazilian presidential elections are to be held on the 2nd of October this year. They will be Latin America's most consequential, given the size and the influence of that country. But most Brazilian observers also say it will be the country's most important contest in a generation due to President Jair Bolsonaro's hostility towards democratic institutions. He has already signaled that he may dispute the election if he loses. No surprises there. But we've got two extreme candidates running, I would say. Lula from the left, President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, and then obviously Bolsonaro from the right. Now, the left-leaning Lula, he now has signaled he's running for the contest, and he is continually leading the polls in electoral matchup against Bolsonaro. Obviously, he was president between 2003 and 2010. He was jailed for corruption in 2018, but that has more recently been overturned, that sentence. Most interesting in this, Rufilwe, is that he's teaming up with Governor Geraldo Alckmin. Now, Alckmin, from the center-right, he contested against Lula in 2006, and he was very much behind the impeachment of Dilma Rousseff, Lula's hand-picked successor. So it's a very interesting combination, but he and Lula are urging voters to join a broad coalition to what they call defend democracy. So if Lula and Alckmin defeat Bolsonaro by a wide enough margin at the polls, as the polls currently predict, mm-hmm, it would be far more difficult for Bolsonaro to contest result.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we have to skip the one, but why is Maradona setting a new record from beyond the grave?
I'm pleased we didn't skip this one because this is definitely a very, very important one. Argentina, the Argentine soccer legend Diego Maradona has broken records from the grave. On May 4th, the jersey Maradona wore when he netted an iconic goal against England in the 1986 World Cup was sold at an online auction for $9.3 million. That's more than the $5.6 million paid for Babe Ruth's jersey in 2019, which at the time set the record for the most expensive sports jersey and most expensive piece of sports memorabilia ever sold. Just a reminder, that goal in 1986 was known as the Hand of God because he scored it with his hand, and obviously that's illegal under international soccer rules. But referees did not revoke the goal at the time because they had not seen it properly. Maradona later said, how's this? He said his goal was revenge against England for its victory in the 1982 Falklands War.
That's amazing. Yes, I do remember that. And now you've reminded me why I don't go back to Uruguay. Thanks. We won't talk about 2010 and that goal by Suarez against Ghana, a similar Hand of God, but always grateful for your insights on Latin America. Thank you so much, Professor Lyle-White.
Thank you, Rupili.
Have a great morning. Research associate at the Brentos Foundation, as well as the founder of the organization Contextual Intelligence.